This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we go on our final segments of the show with Kevin Randall, I want to tell you about the other radio show that we do called After the Paracast. It's part of the Paracast Plus. To learn more, go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. We give you an ad-free version of the show, free of the network commercials, better quality audio, After the Paracast, and more for prices beginning at $1.49 a week. How about that? Plus.theparacast.com. Quickly, Kevin, because we have listener questions and everybody's champing at the bit for a comment. Let me ask you one thing to move on from there. All right. Re-identifying old UFOs is one thing. That could be another show. But back to Roswell. One of the linchpins of Roswell, alien bodies. How did that begin to unravel?
The problem is most of the people that we talked to who said they saw alien bodies were turning out not to be telling us the truth. Some of the information we had was secondhand. I think of Melvin Brown. He apparently told his family, his daughters and his wife, about having seen alien bodies in 1947. But that's secondhand testimony. And given what we've learned about all of this in the last decade and a half, I'm not really thrilled with secondhand testimony anymore. But if we look at it, we had Glenn Dennis, the mortician, talking about what his nurse pal had told him about alien bodies, but again, it's secondhand information. And it turns out Glenn Dennis probably wasn't being as candid with us as he could have been. In other words, we could never find the nurse. He gave us a name for the nurse. We spent an awful lot of time looking for her. Vic Golubic said that he had identified like 25 nurses who'd been in Roswell at the air base and the civilian hospitals at the time frame. None of them were named this Naomi Self, which is the name that Glenn Dennis gave us. So we go to Glenn Dennis and we say, we can't find the nurse. There's never been a nurse in the military named Naomi Self. And he says, well, I made up the name. I told you guys I wasn't going to give you the name. I told you it would be a fake name. Nah, he never said that to us at all. He said to me in confidence, I'm going to tell you the name of the nurse. Just don't tell anybody. And then he proceeded to tell everybody else himself. And one day he was berating me because we had not found his nurse. He said, how come you can't find the nurse? And I said, well, Glenn, you've got to understand that there are people in the country that have the same name. We found four women named Naomi Self. None of them are your nurse. I said, I was looking for a guy named Robert Slusher, who had been a crew member at Roswell in 1947. I just talked to a guy today when I was talking to Glenn named Robert Slusher, who'd been a major in the Army Air Forces back in the World War II. He's not the right guy. And Glenn Dennis says, oh, I know Robert Slusher. He lives over in Las Cruces. And by God, that was the right guy. But the point is, Glenn Dennis is berating us for not finding his nurse, and now he's saying, well, I never gave you the right name. Nah, that's how it came apart. There's a couple of people. There was a Thomas Gonzalez who never really described it, but he would make whittlings, carvings of this. I talked to the guy briefly a number of years ago. I have no reason to disbelieve what he said because here's a guy who seemed to be very credible in what he was saying, but we didn't get a lot of information out of him. But most of the stories of seeing the bodies firsthand have collapsed, or they're secondhand at best. Some of them are thirdhand, and then once you get to a thirdhand testimony, it's just practically useless.
So we've got a question in the chat room, Kevin, and I just wanted to ask you this. I mean, is this your last book on Roswell?
Yes.
Okay.
I cannot see doing anything. Actually, it's a different question that was posed to me in relation to my radio show about this. And then the question was, where do we go from here on Roswell? And thinking about that, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know where we go. The witnesses, the people who would have been alive at the time in 1947 that could possibly tell us something, have all apparently died. We have no documentation. We do not know what government agencies to FOIA. And even if we did, they'd say, we have no documents responsive to your request. Even if it's highly classified, I don't know where you go from here. I looked at all the information that we had. I tried to look at everything. I tried to look at it in a dispassionate light. I wanted to tell the story as best we could do it in the 21st century. And what we're left with are pretty much some anecdotal testimonies that really don't take us very far.
So where are you going to go from here? What are you going to focus on next?
I have actually been doing some stuff, again, on an outgrowth of a question on my radio program on Socorro. I had talked to Ben Moss and Tony Angiola about the Socorro case, and they said a couple of things on my radio program, and you can access that by going to, what is it, the xzbn.net, the X-Zone Broadcast Network.net, and you can find a log of my radio programs, and you look for the one with Ben and Tony on it, and we can listen to this discussion there, and it led to some other people as well. But they said a couple of things that surprised me. One is that there was corroborative witnesses, and the other thing was that the symbol that we'd all seen for so many years was the wrong symbol. So I began some research into that, and that led me to talk to Rob Mercer, who'd gotten a whole bunch of Blue Book files from a guy named Carmen Murano, who had been a member of the Project Blue Book staff as they closed down Project Blue Book, and it all came out. He had some documentation there, and so I just kept getting deeper and deeper into the story. So I've been working on getting some stuff on the Socorro case. I'd asked Ben and Tony if they'd looked at the police logs to see if they had the names of the people who had seen the object were in there, and they said no. And I thought, well, this is useless information. And then I found a report from Richard Holder, who had investigated the case for the military on the night it had happened, and he talked to the police dispatcher, and the police dispatcher tells him, well, three people had called in and saw the object in the sky, but we didn't write any of this down. So what that does was verify that people had actually called the police department on that date about this, so we were able to, you know, verify some of that stuff. So I've been looking into the Socorro case, more in depth into the Socorro case lately.
That's great. You know, Ben and Tony, they're friends of mine, and they've done an excellent job with Ray. And I know Chris O'Brien was mentioning on the last week's show how much he values Ray and had worked with him. And I mean, he sounds like an absolutely brilliant person. And I think there's going to be some good stuff coming from this.
Have you reached out to Ray Stanford?
I had Ray Stanford on my program.
Uh-huh.
So I had him on the program. I had Rob Mercer on the program, and they all talked about this. And then I was able to get Carmen Murano on the program as well. So, you know, I've done a number of programs that relate to the Socorro case from the perspective of what Ben Moss and Tony Angiola have done, from what Ray Stanford has done, what Rob Mercer learned. And so, you know, all of that is, you know, I did like four programs, which in essence is the Socorro UFO case, which again is like 50 years old. Because it's 1964. Yeah, in the same boat that a lot of people who were involved in that case are no longer available, but we've got much better documentation for that case than we did for Roswell, because the Air Force moved in so quickly in Roswell and took away everything. And you can go to the Project Blue Book file on it. You've got the subsequent information that was provided by Carmen Murano about what went on in Socorro. And we've got one of the guys who was there in 1964 investigating in Ray Stanford that we can still talk to. So we've got all of that kind of thing going on.
You can go back to the originals, not four people removed. What about the story about possible beings seen in connection with the craft at Socorro?
There's no question there were beings. And you look at the documentation that developed out of that time, it's there. I think it was Arthur Burns, who was the FBI guy, who said to them, don't say I was here. You know, it's documented he was there. He suggested to Lonnie Zamora that he not mention the beings because that would undermine his credibility. People would laugh at him for that. And I think that there was something to be said for that. But you go back to the original documentation and the original stuff going on, I think Hynek is kind of responsible for the idea that it was just coveralls, white coveralls, but there are statements by Lonnie Zamora in the Project Blue Book files that suggest that there were beings, creatures, aliens there. He said the same thing to Cora Lorenzen. She interviewed him within 48 hours of the sighting. She and Jim Lorenzen were there in Socorro, and it's in the April Bulletin in May, I think, 1964, their May of 1964 issue. And she asked Zamora about that, and he kind of hesitated, and she said it's already out in the public, and so he described a little bit more about what he had seen.
The beings see in connection with Socorro sighting with Kevin Randall, Gene Steinberg, Gogs McKay, and Erica Lukes. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh? Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Hi, I'm Dr. Craig Sammet from Anthem. Did you know that premature birth is the number one cause of death of babies? That's why the Anthem Foundation is working with the March of Dimes to fight to end premature birth and birth defects. But you can do something today to give them tomorrow. Your support means programs, education, life-saving research, and a voice for families in the newborn intensive care unit. Together, we can help save babies' lives. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, alien beings, looking at all the evidence that we've seen so far in the Blue Book records and what Lonnie Zamora said, and as we said before, it's nice to have just a few focused witnesses or people we can talk to or could have talked to at one time, as opposed to the mess of Roswell. What do we know about these beings seen in connection with the craft?
There were two of them. They were short. They were humanoid, I believe. I think Ray Stanford actually said this as well. I think it's in his book that he didn't see any real facial features, But he did. I don't remember if he said they were wearing some kind of headgear or not. I think he didn't say anything about headgear as well. But according to Ray Stanford, according to his book, according to the documents that I've been able to find, he did see beings other than just the white coveralls that have been suggested. So the documentation is pretty clear on that. So I he saw two beings. He saw them get back in the craft and take off. I had looked at some other cases in the Blue Book files that talked about alien creatures as well. Zamora's is one of three, I think it is, where there's a claim of alien beings and it's labeled as unidentified. Most of them are psychological. You know, the person who saw this is crazy type stuff. But there are three cases, and a couple of the other cases that are suggested of psychological kind of mirrors the way the creatures acted in the Zamora case. And one of those is just a one-page story in the Blue Book files, but not labeled psychological, from a guy named Oscar Link, who saw something in Germany in 1950, and they were two beings, and once the beings became aware of his presence or other presence, they got back in the craft and it took off. So there's kind of a precedent for this thing too when you look through the history of ufology.
What about more recent cases? Because again, you were talking about the fact that the older cases were more direct with more distinctive details. Are there recent cases, anyone, Erica, certainly you worked in investigations for MUFON for a while, any more recent cases where we have a craft and we have aliens and the aliens get back in the craft and off it goes?
Erica?
You know, we don't have a lot of... Oh, you're going to turn that over to me. That's just rude.
Yeah. I'm now taking over the hosting duties.
Oh, I like it.
Sorry,
yes.
You're
guys.
Out.
Guys, what about the Rua case in Zimbabwe that John Mark investigated? That's relatively recent, like sort of, what, 94 or something? And that was a mass sighting, as in, you know, a school class or two. A documentary's been made, I don't know if it's finished and out, about that relatively recently in the last year or two. But that, there was beings seen, a craft seen, multiple witnesses, and they are speaking just now. So just as an example, that to me is a decent, recent case that maybe could be looked at more.
Well, I think you're right. There are cases. There's a couple, I think, in Australia that are fairly recent as well that could be looked at, where there's occupants seen. But I'm not that familiar with those cases. So if, you know, somebody else has information on that, you know, have at it. I just don't have that. I don't have information on those cases at the moment.
You know, and I just got to throw this in there, but there was a great case just recently that was the American Airlines Flight 434 case, which was, I just have to say this, but this was a case that William Puckett and myself and Jeff Cox investigated, where there was significant radar data and audio logs from the FAA. So there are current time cases out there that are good. And I think for me, as somebody investigating what's taking place now, it is really looking at areas with unusual, like Brown Mountain, like Skinwalker, and the Uinta Basin, like Hechtdalen, places where you're seeing recurrent light phenomena. And Hechtdalen has done a 30-year study of that, where they've got five different types of light phenomena, and they feel they behave intelligently. So perhaps it's changed, and we just need to shift our focus.
Well, and I think Ted Phillips has done some wonderful stuff with light phenomenon, if you will, down in southern Missouri and things like that. I seem to find myself sucked into cases inadvertently. And this is how I ended up with the Socorro case was, you know, Ben and Tony were talking about some things that I hadn't heard before about the Socorro case. And I became interested in seeing if I could identify more information about this and kind of got sucked into the Socorro case, and then became very interested in seeing how much further I could go and having an opportunity to talk to some of the people in Socorro and that sort of thing, and finding the scads of documentation that kind of leads us in one direction. And learning about the end of Blue Book from Carmen Morano, the one thing that he said that kind of stuck in my mind was I had asked him about getting UFO cases from around the country. And during his time there, he said most of them came from Ohio and Indiana and Pennsylvania, right around Dayton, Ohio. And I went back and looked at the index for Project Blue Book, and he's right. Most of the cases were from the local area, and other cases, if they've been reported to the Air Force, didn't make their way to Project Blue Book. They ended up on the desk of whomever at a remote Air Force base, or may have ended up at the Condon Committee rather than Project Blue Book.
Isn't it interesting? And I have to say, with regard to the Blue Book cases, I mean, I've been looking at Utah cases. You know, there was the Woody Harris case. Of course, there's the Delbert Newhouse case. And you've talked about that pretty extensively on your blog and in lectures, from my recollection. But, I mean, there, when you look at cases like that and then you begin to put the bigger picture together, some of these cases in specific areas are, it's kind of a recurrent theme.
But my whole thing, I'm kind of stumbling around here. I have access to lots and lots of records here in my house, and I don't have a great deal of stuff in the from the last 3 or 4 years, but I have a great deal of stuff. I can go back to the Project Blue Book files. I have a set of Project Blue Book files, which is a big deal now. I mean, you can go to the internet and see the whole Project Blue Book files, but it's easy for me to research some of the older cases. So when you mention Newhouse, I can go pull up that case from the Project Blue Book files. Or you talk about the Lubbock Lights, for example, I can pull up that case from the Project Blue Book files. I also had an opportunity in the mid-1990s to talk to Carl Hart. He's the guy that took the photographs of the Lubbock Lights. The question I finally put to him, because at the time I talked to him, I think he was 61 years old, and you find that a lot of the pictures from the 1950s, 1960s were taken by teenagers, and they are now confessing that they faked them. When I talked to Carl Hart about this, he says, "I still don't know what I photographed." You know, he wouldn't say it was alien. He wouldn't say anything. He says, "I just don't know what I photographed." Well, you know, he had an opportunity. Nobody's going to come after him in today's environment and say, "You're a bad guy for having faked these photographs." You know, here's a chance to come clean. And his attitude was, "I don't know what I photographed." So, I mean, we've got that sort of thing, but I have that information available. I happen to be in Lubbock is what was going on. I looked up his name in the phone book on a lark and it was there. So I called him to chat about that. I kind of like the historical aspect because I can get the documentation, and on some of the newer cases I can find the witnesses and I can chat with them. For the Leveland case, actually hours later there was a guy named Glenn Toy and another fellow, MPs at White Sands, who saw an object in the sky. I was able to get to Glenn Toy and chat with him about what he'd seen in 1957. And again, you know, it's 1957, but I got his perspective on what he had seen that night, as opposed to what it said in the Air Force file and the investigation that they had done on it.
Kevin Randall, Erica Lukes, Gox Mackay, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, just in case people are wondering, we are heard in Lubbock, Texas on KRFE Radio 580 AM. Okay? So we do have a very direct audience in Lubbock. So if anyone has any memories of that era, let us know in the show here. We'll forward it over to Kevin Randall.
Wait. Okay. I want to interrupt on Lubbock. If you're in Lubbock, Texas, and you want to see the scene where Carl Hart took the pictures, it's a Pizza Hut now. And it's on, I think, 20th Street, I think. It's a big, long street through Lubbock, but Carl Hart told me that that was where his house used to be, and I actually picked up a couple of stones from the parking lot, so I have rocks from the scene where Carl Hart took the famous Lubbock Light pictures.
Okay, so pepperoni pan pizza from Pizza Hut in Lubbock, Texas, next time I'm there, or the first time I'm there, we'll welcome that. Buy us all lunch. That's how it's going to work. Let's kind of just wrap Roswell before we go back to these other cases, Kevin. So let's take a look at it. MJ-12 is fake, and we seem to know who's responsible. There were no bodies seen with Roswell.
No. That's not quite right. Because once again, you know, most of the people who talked about the bodies were lying about it. And I think Glenn Dennis, for example. But there's others like Thomas Gonzalez, who never really talked about this stuff. He was very quiet about it, but he would carve figures. And I've got pictures of those figures. Actually, Don Ecker got the pictures of the little figures that he carved of the alien bodies. So there is some evidence of bodies, but the real point is it's not real robust evidence. You know, here's a guy. He was in Roswell in 1947. We can prove it through the documentation that he was there in 1947. He said that he saw the bodies. That's where we are on that sort of thing. So there is some testimony from firsthand witnesses to the bodies. There's a larger body of testimony from secondhand people, such as Frankie Rowe, Elaine Vey, for example, who's a cousin or uncle Darwin Rasmussen saw bodies. There's the Brown family, whose father, Melvin Brown, saw bodies. So there is some testimony about that hasn't completely fallen apart.
But most of the ones that were most compelling
have fallen apart.
They fell apart, but there might be something there still. But we can't prove it at this point. Now, here's the thing that gets back to the beginning and end of it. Is there anything, any evidence whatever, to indicate what happened at Roswell had any kind of advanced and or alien connection? Nothing anymore?
If you look at Bill Brazel, for example, and he handled debris, he's talking about fiber optics. He's talking about this memory metal. So there is some evidence to suggest an advanced technology, but it's all testimony. It's all witness-based. So you can reject that testimony out of hand if you wish to do so. I don't wish to do so. But the real problem is, when you look at the vast body of the testimony, it's just not very robust, and it is basically just testimony, and there's just very few credible people left when you go down the list of witnesses, that testimony can be trusted somewhat. So you've got anecdotal testimony that suggests something advanced. You have no terrestrial explanation that eliminates Roswell, meaning that it's a terrestrially based thing. So that's kind of where we are. We really don't know what it was.
No possibility of a balloon. I mean, you've talked a lot about the scheduling for Mogul and all this other stuff. But even assuming records were not kept properly, were lost, evidence forgotten or mislaid.
The problem is, and I just put something up on my blog about that. The article from the Roswell Daily Record, Harass Rancher, sorry he told about it, that sort of thing. And if you look at that, which leads you to the balloon solution, the article is contradictory. You know, the rancher brings the stuff in to the sheriff to show some of the stuff to the sheriff, and Marcel and Cavett look at this stuff and say, yeah, we got to go out to the ranch. But if you look at the article, it says, well, they've already picked it all up. There's no reason for them to go to the ranch, and if he's brought some of the debris in, there's absolutely no reason for them to go out to do anything more. So the article is self-contradictory, and the balloon explanation just simply doesn't work based on the records that do exist. And if I'm required to admit that the records for the Roswell crash are non-existent, I don't understand, or the ones that suggest it wasn't real, the Twining letter, for example, if I'm required to accept that, why isn't the other side required to accept the idea that the Mogul flight was canceled, because that's what the record says?
Okay, so if you allow for those records to be partly incorrect, it still doesn't allow for some kind of balloon?
No, I don't think so. Based on the testimony, you've got Cavett, who said originally and said to me that they were too busy to go out on any balloon reconnaissance. He said later to Weaver when they got out, Colonel Weaver was the Air Force investigator on it in the mid-1990s. When they got out to the ranch, he said he knew immediately it was a balloon. And Weaver didn't ask the next question was, well, did you manage to communicate this rather vital piece of intelligence to Jesse Marcel, you know, Jess, it's a balloon, let's go home. So you've got those sorts of problems. I just think the record is pretty clear on that it's not a Mogul balloon. It's not a balloon of any kind. It's not a rocket. It's not experimental aircraft. It's not anything that we can find at this point. Which is not to say sometime down the future, in the future, somebody will say, here's the solution to Roswell. And we say, yeah, God, that's right.
It's kept in the same vault as the evidence for the Kennedy assassination,
which unfortunately was done by Lee Harvey Oswald. So that's why
you believe he was the lone gunman. That was it.
Yes, I think again, it's you know, our technology. And you look at the technology today, and they explain how all of these mystery things happened in Dealey Plaza, and you say, yeah, it makes sense. Lee Harvey Oswald just, for some bizarre reason, decided to shoot Kennedy because he was there, and Kennedy was there, and he could do it.
Well, of course, they make a big argument here. Mark Lane did back in the 60s when I first saw him give speeches that gun couldn't have done it because it's so badly made and doesn't aim correctly. But I kept thinking when he was doing this, what about the exception? Even if there's a 90% probability that he couldn't have done it with this weapon because it's just not a good weapon, what about the 10% chance that just everything was there at the right or wrong time? Got all the ducks in a row. Everything worked perfectly for the one and only time, that 10 percentile or 5 percentile, and that's what happened.
We call that the golden BB in the military. You know, there's no way that shot should have hit anybody, but it did. And I think you go back and you look at some of the evidence today, and they look at the rifle and they say, well, it wasn't that poorly made. And Oswald could have gotten the shots off in the time he did. And he was familiar with the weapon. He had practiced with the weapon. So, you know, there's all of that that comes into play. I think in the 1960s, when Lane and these guys were looking at this stuff, they were raising some legitimate questions. But I think the questions have been answered now. And I think we're in the same point with Roswell. There's some legitimate questions that were asked at the time, and we've got answers for most of them, but we don't have answers for all of them yet. And maybe at some point we'll get those answers. I'm not sure where we should look for those answers. I don't have a clue as to where we'd look for those answers at this point, because I've tried everything that I can think of, but maybe somebody will come up with a inspiration and find the final bit of evidence for us.
Well, if you remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's down in Warehouse 13. That's where everything is. So all the evidence we need to prove UFOs, down in Warehouse 13. So as we progress to our final segment or so here, can we find any case out there that would be Roswell number two, would be eligible to become the cultural icon, the cultural myth that maybe has more going for it now? Anything out there? I like to pose a cliffhanger here. Now, if you have the PowerCast Plus, you'll have no interruption whatever except for a few seconds of music. If you're listening to the standard version, the free version of the show, there'll be 4.5 minutes before we get the answer from Kevin Randall about whether there is a Roswell number two out there that should be looked into or has been looked into. Kevin Randall, Erica Luke, Scoggs McKay, you're in
the PowerCast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing PIX Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with PIX, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PIXWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick PIX and get connected today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Roswell number two, Kevin Randall, is there one or would Sicaro qualify?
I would say before Sicaro, I would say Leveland, Texas in November of 1957 because of the number of witnesses who independently reported the craft to the local law enforcement, the interaction with the environment, the stalling of the car engines, the dimming of the lights, that sort of thing, and then the subsequent events at White Sands within hours of the Sicaro event. That would be a number two. I think Rendlesham Forest would be interesting number two, and I mentioned that. I just had Charles Halt on my program talking about his experiences with Rendlesham Forest, and he gave some very interesting information to me during that interview. So we've got Rendlesham Forest as a very interesting case. JAL 1628, the airliner, I think is interesting, but only because all the radar data exists. John Callahan, who is the investigator for the FAA, has all the radar data, so you can watch the thing in real time, if you will, based on the radar data that was recovered back in the 1980s for that case. So there's three cases where there's some really interesting things going on.
You know, I want to just ask you, Kevin, because again, I've heard you talk about this case, and it took place in Utah and Las Vegas, and it was with the April 18th, 1962 crash fighting.
I'm afraid that the Las Vegas end of it probably was a meteor. And I've come to that conclusion based on, you know, seeing the meteor compilations on YouTube and that sort of thing. So that's very worrisome to me. And the descriptions given by the people in Las Vegas and talking to the sheriff's deputies and all of the people. The Utah end of the case is still very problematic because you've got the object seen very low to the ground. You've got, again, the object interacting with the environment. And the names of some of the witnesses escape me at the moment, but you've got the car engine stalling, that sort of thing. And the one guy talked about how he jumped out of his car as the engine stalled and the thing flew overhead. You've got the photoelectric cells apparently reacting in some of the towns. That could be explained by a very bright meteor, because if you've seen on some of the meteor compilations, you've seen as the meteor goes over, the photoelectric cell lights go out, and then they come back on. So that may be explainable, but other lights in the city shouldn't react that way. So the Utah end of it is still very interesting, but I'm afraid when we get to the Las Vegas end of it, we may have a legitimate explanation for it.
That's interesting, and I would love to talk with you about it sometime and kind of see what we can come up with.
Well, that's fine with me, as long as you bring a sack of money.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'll save up.
It doesn't have to be a big sack, you understand.
Okay, maybe like a piggy bank.
Hey, that's good. Works for me.
A sack of pennies work, right? It weighs a lot.
Well, if it's the wheat back pennies, yeah, that's a good deal. The pre-1959 pennies. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Now, looking at all this, though, nothing here with regard to what we've unlearned about Roswell deters you from your theory still that at least some UFOs are extraterrestrial spacecraft, right?
There's a possibility that Roswell is extraterrestrial. I'm just saying that looking at the evidence as it exists today is very problematic. Some of the cases suggest alien visitation. And I will say, I don't think alien visitation is nearly as frequent as it's alleged in the UFO literature, but I think there is alien visitation going on.
How much through the years has been possible test aircraft? Or just some kind of government disinformation nonsense?
You look at some of the aircraft, the SR-71, the Blackbird. If you look at that from certain angles, it looks very ufologically. It looks like a UFO. I got caught in my own syntax there. Looks like it's a ufological object, and its speed was tremendous. And this is 1950s technology, for God's sakes. And so we jump forward 50 years. I know that the F-111, seen from certain angles, looks for everything like a dome disc, and if it's got its landing gear down, it's with a tripod land gear. The B-2 bomber has got a very bizarre look to it when you see it from certain angles. So I think our technology can account for a number of UFO sightings. I think there's people who see things in the sky that they just don't understand. I've always said, you know, if you've got a UFO sighting from some guy at 3 o'clock in the morning, he happened to be outside and he looks up and there's a light going across the sky, and it's a private plane doing, the guy's getting nighttime VFR or something, and he's got his landing light on for some reason, and the wind's blowing the wrong direction, you may not hear it. So you've got a light in the sky with a perfectly plausible explanation, but you'll never find it because there'd be no documentation to look for, especially if it's single witness. You know, you have to look at multiple witness cases. You have to look for multiple chains of evidence for us to get really into the case. And that's one of the delights for the Leveland case, because you have multiple witnesses and multiple chains of evidence. And the same thing with Rendlesham Forest. Charles Hall was telling me that the radiation, they picked up radiation, and on one side of the trees, it was higher than on the other side of the trees, suggesting the source was, you know, in the clearing there. So you've got eyewitness testimony, you've got their experiences, you've got the radiation information, you've got the landing gear traces that were found. So you've got some very good physical evidence there as well. And if you go to my blog, you can click on that, listen to Halt's interview, which should be up in sometime later today. So you've got all of that stuff available to you.
Plenty of cases to check out, for sure.
Yes, many, many cases.
So, maybe there still is a cosmic Watergate, but you don't expect to ever see, and I don't either, any kind of disclosure.
Disclosure is predicated on the aliens. If they land and say, here we are, there's going to be disclosure. If they don't do that, I can see no motivation for the government to reveal what they know.
Well, that really sucks, doesn't it?
Kevin, do you subscribe at all to any kind of high, strange, or paranormal aspect to any UFO cases, or are you solely kind of a nuts and bolts guy?
I am a nuts and bolts guy, which is not to say that some of the cases can't be explained in some kind of paranormal phenomena that we don't understand. So, yeah, there's always that possibility. I've often said, you know, people say to me, well, what do you think it is? And I say, well, I think it's probably alien visitation. But there's a possibility it's time travelers from our future. I think that's a very low possibility, but it's a possibility. Could it be some kind of interdimensional problem? Yeah, it certainly could be. I don't know how to explain that, but it certainly could be some kind of interdimensional crossover, something like that. It could have something to do with psychic ability. But I think the probable answer is going to end up as extraterrestrial. And it may be a combination of all those things. I prefer the time travelers because that's the most fun explanation. But
well, interdimensional, it could be the real-life equivalent of Mixia's Pitalik, the character from DC Comics, the fifth-dimensional jokester who has to say his name backwards and don't ask me to pronounce that in order to return.
I was surprised you could pronounce it forward. So
Mixia's Pitalik, yeah. I had to look it up. There are two different ways. And the reason is that on a DC Comics TV show this year, we'll see him.
Well, I won't, but
you don't watch those shows, I do. Okay, Kevin Randall, if we're interested in more of your stuff, and we know you have a radio show now, where can we find it?
The radio show, you can go to xzbn.net. And you can find a link to all the shows that have been up there. You can go to my blog, which is kevinrendel.blogspot.com, and just scroll through there, you know, because every time I do a show, there's a link to it, and you can watch it on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and type in my name or type in A Different Perspective, and you can listen to all the shows there. And you can go to Amazon and buy my book and get me an extra quarter that way, I think.
Erica, where can we find more of your stuff?
Oh, I'm on UFOClassified.com. My show is Friday nights on KCOR, and that is from 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time to 7. So I'm on every week.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the PowerCast. The PowerCast is on Twitter. The PowerCast is on Facebook, with a couple of fan clubs being a group, being a community. And I know there's a precise definition for that. But definitely there's no fake news involved. We also have that second radio show we want you to hear called After the PowerCast. And After the PowerCast is available only if you subscribe to the PowerCast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com and you'll learn all the information. We give you a commercial-free version of this show with better quality audio, After the PowerCast, and more. The price starts at just $1.49 a week. Our price, cheap. Plus.theparacast.com. Erica Luke, Scoggs McKay, Kevin Randall, thank you all for being with us on the PowerCast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gene, as always.
And it's been more fun than getting dirty.
That's comforting.
Oh, I don't know.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, that's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.